is Monty Knetter, and I'm joined here today with
Katie Tuck,
and we're going to talk about riding the Corona coaster. During this Corona time, we're tempted to overeat, overdrink, to binge on movies, to binge on social media, to do a lot of things that make our flesh feel good. But these things don't give us the strength to face difficulties. These things don't restore our souls. And today we're going to talk about habits and attitudes to adapt, different changes we can make in our lives so that we can flourish during this time instead of flounder. So we'll start out with Katie. How should we think about these difficulties we face this year?
Yeah, it's been a year filled with suffering, to say the least. Anxiety, stress, separation from loved ones, depression, sickness, even death. It's been a really hard year. And yet, in the midst of this hard season, it's good to know that we have a biblical and theological framework in which to put suffering as believers. From the small to the great suffering in our lives, the way we look at it bears witness to what we believe. It can point to the gospel and our faith in Him. R.C. Sproul highlighted God's sovereignty in the world by explaining it this way. If there's one molecule in the universe running loose outside of the control of God's sovereignty, what he called one maverick molecule, then the practical implication for us as Christians is that we have no guarantee whatsoever that any future promise God has made to his people will come to pass. But truly, there is no maverick molecule in the universe. There is no molecule outside of his control. And not only that, but all of the suffering that we've been going through is actually designed to cause us to turn our eyes to God, to lean more fully on Him, and to be sharpened and matured. Hebrews 5:7-8 says that even Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. God designed the world so that suffering is what leads to maturity, spiritual and otherwise, from the small to the great. We think of homework, like the papers we have to write, from when we're very young to when we're older. That sharpening, the bit of suffering that we go through in the midst of homework and study and learning new things. Workouts, working out at home, or when you're training for an athletic event or a race, or just working out and getting in more shape. All other kinds of physical, mental, spiritual suffering, these are the things that lead us to greater maturity. Samuel Rutherford was a Scottish pastor, theologian, and author in the 1600s. He has a great quote talking about the sovereignty of the Lord over everything that happens in our lives. He says, "Events are the Lord's and the duties are ours." Basically, that God is the one steering the ship, but there are things we can do in the midst of these events to care for our own part, as he puts it. So I would definitely call COVID-19 an event this year. So Monty and I will be highlighting the practical things to do in the midst of this event of suffering in a hard year. But we also wanted to share that Jesus is a most faithful friend, fellow sufferer, and Savior. He knows suffering well and knows your suffering and wants to give us the comfort of his presence and draw us to himself. So for those of you who are suffering, do start there. The Psalms often start out by crying out to the God who hears and who cares and who draws near. So as we draw near to God, we'll do that first. And what are some other the ways we can do to be caring for our own part in the midst of suffering?
Yeah. So I think one of the best things we can do to start out with is to meet with other believers mm-hmm. in person and right. I'm going to add to that, to the extent that you're able.
Yeah.
Some people have pre-existing conditions. Some people are just not in a place where they're able to. But if you are able to, meet with other believers. We need more real human interaction than we realize. I think most of us live with a bare amount of human interaction, right, that keeps us going. Mm-hmm. And then when something like Corona comes into our lives, that bare minimum is taken away and we really fall apart quickly. So I would say as a minimum, go to church again to the extent you're able. Mm-hmm. But also, right, be with spiritual friends. Have times of fellowship with other believers where real conversations can happen and real encouragement can happen. You can be rebuked. You can edify one another. You can pray for one another. We need this. And then the second part, you know, in terms of caring for your spiritual health, I'd say find time for devotions. And it's good to have the right approach, the right theological attitude towards devotions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't read your Bible and pray to God so that you can earn God's favor. God's favor is freely given. Devotions are practices that help you to be more devoted to God. And so again, the classic ones are things like reading your Bible, worshiping, prayer. Journaling is something that a lot of people feel is helpful to them as well. Again, this is an opportunity to fix our eyes on Christ. A lot of us make idols out of the government or out of science. I don't necessarily mean us Christians, but just us as a society. Those are things that we believe in. If you think I'm wrong, I mean, look at the size of our government. If we didn't believe our government should do a lot, it would not do as much as it does. It does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with science. If you look at how people are discussing this, so do you believe in science or not? Right? We have yard science. Science is real. The vaccine's right around the corner. Just social distance and right, wear masks. And these are good things. I'm not like saying don't get vaccinated or you know, don't wear a mask, but do wise things, but put your trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of us have just put our faith in things that, in, you know, outside of God. We're giving our trust to government or science to the extent that we're taking away from God's glory and what's his rightful due.
Mm-hmm.
And these things have failed us, right? I don't care what your politics are. I think everybody's upset at somebody in government and feels like government could have done better in some way, shape, or form. Either they've overreacted or they've underreacted or they should have acted earlier or they acted too late or whatever, right? All of us have our pet theories because government couldn't save us from this. And likewise with science. We don't have a cure right now. We don't have a vaccine that's 100% effective. And so I would encourage you, don't double down on your idolatry by blaming a party, by blaming the president, or by blaming the governor, or by blaming the Senate, or by blaming whatever group you think isn't taking this seriously enough or is taking it too seriously. Don't look to the next study. Don't look for a vaccine. Don't you know, look for right the inauguration of whoever to do whatever. This is an opportunity to grow in faith. So don't waste it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even more so than ever, like you were talking about meeting with other believers and being in God's word. It's like reality, right? Like that is the absolute, true, and utter reality of our lives. That that God is real. He has put us here for a purpose, and the rest of the world doesn't want to say that. There's other things that they would tell us to put our hope in. Like you said, the government, our own selves, you know, all these things, but we need to sharpen each other by being together and being in the Word of God and seeing that He has been true and faithful from the very beginning. And He, from the stories we read in the Word of God, that He is unchanging. And I think, R.C. Sproul said, there's no maverick molecule in the universe. There is nothing outside of His control. And that has been such a comfort to me during this time that He is in control here, and I need to be reminded of that all the time, whether it's being with my friends, whether it's being at church, whether it's being in the Word. I need all of those things, and I think, you know, we always need to make an effort to do those things in life, but even more so now because there's more of a temptation to be discouraged or depressed or trust in the, you know, the things that you're talking about. And so, yeah, just to sharpen one another and check in on one another and encourage one another to be doing these things as well.
Yeah, since we're at a classical school, I guess I can talk about Dante and won't be like pretentious. But when you read through Dante's comedy, it's really interesting. The first two are the first, you know, part of the book he's in on Earth, right? Or all, well, he goes down into hell, right? Inferno. But from that perspective, Earth seems like the center of everything. He's going into the center of the Earth. Even like purgatory, it's this big mountain. Everything seems like the center of things. When he gets up into heaven, he looks down on earth, it's off to the side and it's really small. And he's trying to make a point. Like when you're wrapped up in the things of this world, it seems like that's all that there is. And the problems are going to seem really, really big. But when your eyes are on Christ, you see that Christ is actually the center of everything. And that our struggles, no matter how big they are peripheral and they're really small in comparison to God's power, His grace, His goodness, His beauty. And so just trying to, you know, that's why the Bible calls us to live by faith, because that is reality.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. We just can't see it now, but to try to believe what we can't see at this point, that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Practically speaking, I think, right, we're not just spirits. We're not disembodied, you know, beings like angels. We're embodied creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do with our bodies affects our souls. And so I think a second wise thing to do besides taking care of our souls is to take care of our bodies. So eat healthy-ish foods. I know this is challenging around the Christmas season. The amount of sweets we have in our house is never higher than in December. But, right, you know, eat a salad sometimes.
Your broccoli.
Yeah. Exercise regularly, right? Get outside, even when it's cold. Hey, it's Wisconsin, right? There's bundle up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep well. Try to go to bed at the same time or approximately the same time every night. You'll sleep better. Try to get up at about the same time. You'll sleep better and you'll feel better. It's amazing. Taking care of your bodies will help your souls be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, engage in hobbies that are life-giving. Go on walks, get into woodworking, read, play a game with the kids, even take a nap or have a bonfire with your neighbors. God has given us so many good things to do. I mean, the amount of like good, wholesome things that are to do is just amazing. The devil always has to try to corrupt these things because there's so many good things to do. But we often run to foolish things instead. I think of myself right here when I give this example, but like watching NFL football games, right? After I spend 3.5 hours watching an intense game, do I ever feel better? You know, do I walk away kinder towards my wife or more patient with my kids? No, I don't, right? Not that it's wrong to watch NFL football games, but it's not going to exactly restore my soul. Or, you know, binging on unhealthy foods or watching a ton of Netflix. These things don't make us feel better. This difficult time is not an excuse to indulge. But on the other hand, too, we need to rest. So we need to find this middle ground. To constantly be working is not loving. It's actually prideful. It's a sin against your humanity. It's a failure to recognize that God has made you as a finite creature.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'd encourage you to kind of ask big questions. What choices can I make today that help me to be a better parent tomorrow? Right? That might mean turning off the television and going to sleep a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Or what will help me become a better leader next year or a better worker in my job? Or even, right, what will help me to become a better grandparent 20 years from now? Right? We're all making choices right now that affect the future. Don't think of the short term, what's going to make me feel better in this moment, what's going to help me become a, you know, person of faith, a person of character, a person of strength in Christ. Some of us are prone towards indulgence. Some of us are prone towards just being excessively ascetic, and just watch out. Both of those lead us away from Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important, like you said, to look with faith towards a future. I think as parents, we need to do that with our kids, but even for our own lives, just looking with faith towards what God has for us and how to invest in that now. I think it's there's so many promises that we can take hold of and grab hold of now. Like, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and all things work together for good, but we can invest in what he has for us and for our kids. So that's good.
And to do these two things, right, to grow spiritually and to grow, to take better care of ourselves physically, we have to cut things out.
Yeah.
We're finite creatures, so it's rarely possible to pursue good things without making space by removing other things. You know, gardening is a good example of this. A lot of us gardened this summer. It's not that weeds are evil, but if we want our vegetables to grow, if we want our plants to flourish, we need to pull out the weeds. So something like fellowship with friends in real life is important, but we can't do this and be on Facebook 20 hours a week. Sleeping well, eating well, exercising, this is going to help keep our emotions in check and stave off depression. You can't do that if you're having beer and popcorn every night and a Netflix, you know, marathon. And so one of the things that I would recommend most in cutting back in would be screens. I think that for a lot of us, if we just cut our screen time even in half, we could have robust devotions. We'd have more time with our kids, more time with our spouses, more time to exercise. And so I'll give you some examples of things I do, not because I recommend specifically imitating me here, but just to give you an idea of what's possible. Right. So for example, in our house, we don't have smartphones. We don't have cable TV. We don't have any streaming services. So if we want to watch a movie, we put it on hold and we pick it up at the library. So we're really intentional about what we watch. We think through, is this worth it? We have to wait. And I know this sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to some people and they're like, wow, you must be like a monk. You must have this like great level of self-control. And the fact is I do this because I don't have self-control, right? I make choices ahead of time because I don't have self-control to act in the moment. I am incredibly easily distracted, and so I have to spend a lot of effort to pay attention and to focus. I don't have a smartphone because if I had it, I would do a far worse job at my job. I would pay far less attention to my kids, and so whatever I would get out of that, I'd lose so much, it's just not worth it. I don't have Netflix because my wife and I would constantly browse and we would watch way more television than we do. Marriage is challenging enough without me needing to add something into my life that's going to make my marriage worse. Again, I don't recommend imitating me in these exact choices. I'm not saying like, get rid of your Netflix, get rid of your phones. But the principle I'm trying to show is that make choices in advance when you're thinking clearly, when you're feeling strong, when you're calm, and then stick with those when you're, you know, when it's 8 o'clock at night and you've been working for 13 hours. That's how you actually grow in self-control, is by predetermining and then sticking to it in difficult times. So, you know, if you are being, you know, prone to drink too much during this time, stop buying booze and keeping it at your house. If you're working on a diet, make decisions like, I'm not going to eat after 7 o'clock. You know, again, like I love Oreos, so we rarely buy them because we eat them up way too fast. if you're like, boy, I can't get into devotions, well, turn off screens, turn off Wi-Fi at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. That will help you to get to bed earlier. If you wait until the moment to choose, you know, the moment of struggle to try to make a choice, you're probably not going to make the best choice or the wisest choice. Again, ultimately, we can't pursue trivial things and good things at the same time. This is this one of the great modern myths, is that we can have everything. We can have flexibility and complete freedom to act and do and say however we want, and then deep, long-lasting, abiding community. Like, no, those two things are at odds, mm-hmm. right? If I want to have a strong family, I need to say no to every other woman on earth besides my wife, for example. If I want to really be committed to a job over decades, I need to say no to other jobs. If I want to build community in my neighborhood, I need to say no to moving when there's a better opportunity to move. And so in order to say yes to great things, we need to say no to other things. And the focus isn't on the no, right? I think that's a misunderstanding of Christianity, where it's just a list of rules and no, no, no. No, you say no so that you can say yes to what lies beyond it, right? For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, right? When Christ said no to his own desires and yes to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't because he's like, yes, the cross. He's saying yes to what lies beyond the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right, if you're listening to this, you know, I'd encourage you, right, turn off your television and go on a walk with your spouse today. Turn off your phone and make a snowman or a leaf pile with your kids, depending on when you're listening to this and what the weather's like. have one less beer on Saturday night so you can give yourself more fully to worship and the preaching of God's word on Sunday morning. These structures and routines will help you. Now, don't turn the structure or routine into a god or into an idol. We're all prone to do that. But look beyond them to the things that you're pursuing. Say no to lower things so you can say yes to higher things. Say no to things that make your flesh feel good so you can say yes to things that will actually help you become more like Jesus.
Yeah, there's always a bigger yes beyond those no's. And it's more beautiful and more fulfilling. Think of John Piper, I think it was Lecrae. Somebody made his sermon really popular, and he was talking about the Israelites, like, murmur, murmur, murmur. Why? Have you heard this?
No.
Always murmuring. You're always murmuring. Make war. And it's talking about making war against some of these frustrating sins that we have in our lives, or these propensity to laziness, or just not being able to focus on things that we want to be doing, but we can murmur about them. And except, it's really hard to not have a smartphone. It's really hard to not to turn off Netflix and read a book or do something else, because it takes effort. But if I am going to be murmuring about not getting anything done, or feeling sluggish, or just not being able to make any headway in my life on some frustrating thing that I'm dealing with, I have to actually make war on the sin that I am dealing with in my own life. And I think it goes back to needing to be in the Word to actually see what reality is like, and to know where our strength actually comes from, which is Christ, and to be in community so that we can be sharpened by others and be encouraged that we can actually do these things, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and to be encouraged to move towards Him and not away from Him, because I think when we're not moving forward, we are moving back, and we're really not making any headway on our sin or sanctification or anything healthy if we're not able to fight some of these difficulties. I don't, like you said, I don't think they're all bad. They're mm-hmm. good tools sometimes, but if they're causing you to sin or stumble or causing depression or anxiety, I think it's good to cut them out, and at least for a time, and be accountable to do that. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're struggling with depression or anxiety, turn off all your screens for a couple weeks. I mean, the amount of people that this radically changes their attitude, their outlook, their feelings is really, really high. I don't know the exact numbers, but in some studies, right, over half of people say they feel significantly better after just a couple of weeks of not scrolling through their Instagram or their Facebook or their whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a period of withdrawal, so just yes. be aware of that. There's some anger and frustration when you turn it all off at first, but eventually I have heard the same thing, that it just leads to freedom and more productivity and happiness. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bible, you know, tells us, right, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? It's against principalities and evil spirits and, right, the sin in our own hearts.
Right.
And it's just so easy to look at, you know, my neighbor, the person that bears God's image, and be like, well, he's just a communistic, democratic, wants to take control, or, right, some fascist, right-wing, white supremacist, whatever, right? Or, right, this person that wants to shove masks down my throat, or this person that won't wear his mask because he doesn't love his neighbor. It's really easy for us to caricature people that disagree with us, to hate them, to blame our anger and frustration on them, instead of doing the really, really hard work of looking at the pride in our own heart and fighting against that sin, or looking at the greed or the envy in our own heart and fighting against that sin. And we have, you know, I'm not making excuses, this is just an explanation, we have so much stacked against us. Like, our political system is not operating right now on the basis of, like, let's rationally persuade our opponents to agree with us and build a governing coalition. It's, let's try to manipulate and get people afraid so we can drive out the vote. I think this is happening, again, I don't think every politician is doing this. I think there's a lot of good, honest people in our government, but I think that's the way that a lot of people are operating, is try to scare people one way or the other. And so, again, you can have healthy and strong political opinions, but don't let that get in the way of, like, actually loving your neighbor that God's called you to love. Like, that's what He's called you to do. He's not called you to help elect a political party. Mm-hmm. He's called you to self-sacrificially love your neighbor, mm-hmm. who might have very different opinions than you.
Right, yeah.
But you're not going to be able to love this neighbor if you're so focused on, again, what divides you socially, politically, or as opposed to the fact that he bears God's image. And again, you don't know how God's working in his life. He has the potential of redemption as long as he's on this earth. Mm-hmm. Right? From your perspective, you can't know where people are going and what's going on, but they bear the potential of redemption from your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we could even bring that closer, because even now, I think people who generally think the same way are having some real trouble with unity and thinking mm-hmm. different things about small, sometimes minutia, sometimes bigger issues, but struggling to be unified. Even believers are having this problem. So I think it's good to remember that, I think we said this at the beginning of the year, it's like being unified, like working towards unity with our fellow believers, does not necessarily mean we have to sink our consciences. We are unified under Christ and his blood, and I think that's, you know, that's obviously bringing it closer to people, not necessarily the other side of the spectrum, but people next to us who are having disagreements. And blessed are those who are not offended. I just think that we are so quick to take offense these days. And you talked about humility, and we talked about this last time. We just, I think, you know, growing in humility is a big thing that I could be growing in humility during this time, and still continue to need to be sharpened in that. And so anything good that is worth pursuing is going to be met with stiff resistance. It just always is. And everything we talked about today, pursuing anything good or healthy or godly is going to be met with stiff resistance, because we are battling against not flesh and blood, but these principalities. But the thing is, we have Christ and we have his blood, and nothing can separate us from him, no matter what it is. And so just remembering that these good things will be met with stiff resistance will help us be put on the armor of God, to continue to be in community, to actually work hard to pursue these things, and come alongside our brother or our sister who's struggling, because this is not an easy thing to do during this time. So reaching out, and if somebody is struggling and not able to make war on their sin or their frustration or their just whatever they're going through, we can try to reach out, and we just need to be in community and encouraging each other right now, and more so than we normally are. So so this week, you know, think about, our pastor said this too, this week think of somebody you can reach out to and encourage, and send a note or a little text, and it's another way we can battle some of these things during this time, is to look outward.
Amen. I think that's good advice to end on, unless you have any other final thoughts.
No.
Okay. Well, each week we like to end, or I shouldn't say each week because we don't do this weekly, but each episode we like to end with a recommendation. So, do you have anything you'd like to recommend for us today, Katie?
Yes. I have been reading, I'm almost done with it, Elizabeth Elliot's book called Suffering is Never for Nothing. And it is so good. So it's a good for now. Elizabeth Elliot has went through a lot of suffering in her life. You probably know of her, her husband, Jim Elliot, who died as a missionary to the Alka Indians, and he was killed, martyred there. But she had a lot of suffering in her life. She died in the last, I think, 10 years or so, but somebody took her, a compilation of her talks on suffering, and put them into this lovely little book. And I think the best thing I got out of it recently is just do the next thing. When you're struggling with something hard, think about like the minutiae of our days, whether it's like our kid won't do what we ask them to do, or we're feeling really frustrated or overwhelmed, or the big part of what, you know, the suffering that we've been kind of walking through. She always says, do the next thing, because he will be faithful to take care of you. And it's good to remember those things. So I would recommend that book, Suffering is Never for Nothing.
That's awesome. Sounds good.
How about you, Monty?
So I recommend a hiking place. Our favorite hiking spot this fall has been Indian Lake County Park. It's just north, maybe west of Madison, off of Highway 12. And we love it. We've gone up there a lot this fall. So Wisconsin's good for hiking. I recommend checking it out, but don't tell your friends about it, because
it'll be overrun.
Exactly. All right. Thank you all.
Have a good one. Thank you.